Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Well, Joan, welcome back.
It's good to be back and to be in Rome as we are about to begin Holy Week and to do the program once again. And seems in a way, though I have been away, it seems like it was just yesterday that we taped this show. And just since I've been back, only a few days now, I've been looking at obviously the big stories of the week. There were quite a number of interesting interventions by the Holy Father over last weekend. He met a group of communion and liberation celebrating an anniversary, and about 80,000 of them were in St. Peter's Square. The Pope also went to a parish on Sunday and had some very interesting words to say about hell, reminding people that it does exist. It is real. It is not a symbolic. It's not just a state of mind. Hell actually does exist.
Well, one of the other big things last weekend was, of course, it was the 50th anniversary of the Treaty of Rome and the establishment of the European Union. Well, the European bishops were here in Rome last week, and also the Holy Father mentioned them on Sunday. But one of the big concerns has been that the new European Constitution leaves out the whole Christian roots of Europe.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing. And actually, if any of our listeners have been with us even for a couple of years now, they know that, I'm going to say a year and a half, 2 years ago, there was this huge campaign before the signing of the Constitution, before the signing of the preamble and everything by the individual states in Europe. There was this huge campaign in the Vatican, and particularly the Vatican, the Osservatore Romano, the newspaper, where it had a headline always on a kind of a grayish banner that said, either Europe is Christian or it is not Europe. And that would be on the paper every day for like 7 months. And then there was an article, like an editorial, by some church figure from various countries and theologians, bishops, whatever, about the Christian roots of Europe. And you just can't, it's a reality, and it's a huge reality. And to deny it, as Europe is trying to do in its constitution, is to deny something very real, something very big, and something that was an intimate, innate part of Christian, of history in Europe.
Well, not all people realize that the very flag of the European Union, which is the blue background and the 12 stars, the blue is actually for Our Lady, and the 12 stars are the 12 stars of her crown.
And the Pope took the occasion. It was really an incredible speech. I do not know, as we are talking, if this was available in English on the Vatican website, but his talk to the bishops, who, you, as you mentioned, were in Rome for this event, his talk was very forceful, very powerful, and this part about Christianity really was the centerpiece of his entire talk. He began actually talking about demographic terms, and he said, unfortunately, it must be noted that Europe seems on a path that could lead to its exit from history, because the various countries, people are not replacing themselves. The birth rate is so low in many places that people are dying faster than they are being replaced by a new generation. And the Pope also said that it seems that the European continent is losing faith in its own future. And certainly, if you're not going to mention Christianity, that comes to mind. And in talking about this process of unification, which continues, the European Union began as a small number of countries. It is now, if I am correct, 27 countries that are members of the European Union. And he said the process of this unification is not shared by everyone because various chapters, and he didn't go into that, of the European project were written without taking adequate account of the wishes of its citizens. And then here's where he says powerfully, what emerges from all of this is that it is unthinkable to create an authentic common European home while ignoring the identity of the people of our continent. And that identity, he said, is made up of a collection of universal values which Christianity contributed to creating. And he said, how can the people, who the governments of this union, How can they exclude such an essential element of European identity as Christianity, in which a vast majority of people continue to identify themselves?
Well, we've had 2,000 years of Christianity.
And, I mean, to deny, all you have to do is look at schools, look at universities, look at libraries, look, at, obviously, at the churches, the cathedrals, the basilicas. The impact on art, on history, on religion, on culture, on music of Christianity is huge and undeniable. And to put it to the side because you are lily-livered as a politician and don't wish to offend some people by mentioning Christianity, how can you offend some people if you eliminate what was a true, real, existing, is a true, real, existing element of European culture?
Even on language, you might not realize, but that there are a number of words in the English language that were actually coined by St. Thomas More because he needed a word to express a concept, and a word didn't exist. So he created a word. So even some of the words in our ordinary everyday language have come to us from one of the saints.
Well, you know, a lot of times people don't like to look at the past because there might be negative elements in it, but that's part of life. I mean, it's like looking at a person who, we're all imperfect. We all have our flaws. But if you look at a person and absolutely just eliminate the flaws or concentrate only on flaws or on good points, you're not looking at the whole person. And that's basically what's happening in Europe if you don't look at Christianity. You're denying the biggest part of the history of this of this continent.
Yep.
So a speech worth reading several times and worth noting that the Holy Father did not just bring this up Saturday, that this has been a huge part of many papal speeches and writings, of speeches and writings, obviously, of other members of the Roman Curia of the Catholic Church. And I don't think this will be the last we're going to hear of it either.
Oh, no.
So, and, of course, you know, interestingly enough, the Constitution, when it was voted on by the members of, I don't remember what the date was, when it was voted on by the member nations of the European Union, for it to pass, it had to have 100%. And there were several nations which did not vote on it. Now, if they can come back to the table and insert Christianity, insert some other elements that will make these people vote for it, then maybe all of these words, all of these articles, all of this stress on the Christianity, on this aspect of the roots will pay off. Let's hope. We can also pray. Sometimes we don't feel we see the fruit of prayer, but, you know, prayer is real, exactly, as is Christianity. Well, that was a powerful speech this week. It wasn't obviously the only thing on the Pope's agenda. We had a very interesting audience actually on Wednesday, the general audience in St. Peter's Square. And the Pope has been focusing on people in the early church, and he dedicated his catechesis Wednesday to Irenaeus, the Bishop of Lyon, who was from Smyrna in the 2nd century, and Benedict, a great theologian himself, called Irenaeus the first great theologian of the church. And what is interesting, basically, the Pope was talking about authentic church teaching, going back to the original, to the apostles, and he said, authentic church teaching is transmitted by the apostles. It is not invented by intellectuals. And I suppose you could actually take this in the European Union speech and weave a tapestry out of the thoughts in both of these areas. He said, Irenaeus preached the gospel that was preached by his teacher Polycarp, who in turn received it from the apostle John in an unbroken line of succession going back to Christ himself. And he said, the authentic teaching is not that invented by intellectuals over and above the simple faith of the church. The true gospel is the one imparted by the bishops who received it from the gospels in an uninterrupted chain. And in particular, he said, Catholics have a duty to listen to their bishops, and of those bishops in particular, to the Bishop of Rome, who, of course, is the Holy Father. And he talked about the Church of Rome, who, because of her antiquity, has the greatest degree of apostolicity and whose origins are in the pillars of the Apostolic College, which, of course, is Saints Peter and Paul. So very, very interesting audience, and I imagine there might be a few people in other Christian denominations who might be taking apart this discorso, this audience of the Holy Father, and looking at it very carefully. Well, you know, we're getting real short here on time, and I think that if people kind of stay tuned to what's happening in the church, we've got a lot of big of events coming up. Palm Sunday, World Youth Day. Tonight, the young people of Rome meet with the Pope. We're going to have confessions, a penitential rite, individual confessions with the Holy Father, which I'm sure would scare the bejeebies out of a number of people sitting there. And then Monday, obviously, April 2nd, a very big day, the end of the diocesan process for the canonization, beatification of John Paul, and many, many ceremonies commemorating the second anniversary of his death.
And more important than that, next week is Holy Week.
Next week is, hopefully we said that at the beginning of the program.
So God bless.
So we'll tune in on Holy Thursday.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.